Good morning, everyone. Welcome to worship here at Glenshaw Valley on this very cold and snowy January morning. I have a few announcements to share with you all. The first is to remind you that this coming Sunday, February 7th, is going to be Scout Sunday. Some of our scouts from the troops that meet here at the church will be joining us in worship to share a little bit about what they've been doing this year and to present the flag in that order. So please plan to attend if you are able to. Excuse me. We don't have any committee meetings this week. Session is the following week, and deacons will be after that, so yay. It is Groundhog's Day this week. I don't know if any of you are placing bets on if the groundhog's going to see his shadow or not. I hear they're doing it virtually this year, so there won't be a crowd to scare him into saying that he saw his shadow prematurely. Just one other quick announcement. February 14th is There are new copies of the Valley that you should have all received in your email that will have all of this. But just a quick reminder, we're not going to do a Valentine's Day fellowship this year because of COVID. But we are encouraging you to wear red or wear some kind of Valentine's Day themed thing on the 14th because Valentine's Day will be on a Sunday this year. Those are all the announcements I have. Does anyone else have any announcements to share? All right, let us turn our attention to God with our call to worship. I will extol the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds, and his righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Great Are You, Lord. Join with me in our prayer of confession. Almighty God, you love us, but we have not loved you. You call, but we have not listened. We walk away from neighbors in need, wrapped in our own concerns. We condone evil, prejudice, warfare, and greed. God of grace, help us admit our sin, so that as you come to us in mercy, we may repent, turn to you, and receive forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Friends, I declare in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen.
Amen.
To the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
with me now as we profess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, we can greet one another by waving from our seats. Please be seated for our anthem. Request to share with you this morning. The first prayer request is Kristen is heading back to school tomorrow for her second semester at the seminary. This will be her spring semester. All of her classes are going to be virtual, so please pray that this transition goes well, that Zoom doesn't blow out tomorrow or anything like that. Another thing to pray for is that Kristen is going to be taking another ordination exam on Friday. This exam is called the Bible Content Exam. In my opinion, this is the most difficult of the ordination exams. It's basically a 100-point multiple choice exam where they can ask you a question, any question about the Bible. They range from Abraham and Sarah's son was named Isaac, Ishmael, like relatively easy ones. Two, they give you like four sentences from scripture and you have to pick which one Paul didn't write. So Kristen has been praying for this. She's been studying for this exam for six-ish months. They have an online study group. So please pray that she passes this exam, because you have to pass this exam to move forward in the ordination process. Also be praying for everybody who has to travel today and tomorrow. I think the snow is supposed to fall more as the day progresses, so be praying for that as we continue. And then pass it over to Kristen for the prayer.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who commands the universe and all that is made, your word is the power that makes whole what is broken, the force of good and the food of peace. Heal us now so that in all we say and do, the freedom we have in you may be for others too. We pray for the healing of the earth and all its creatures. We pray for congregations that are in turmoil and for the healing of divisions between the followers of Christ. We pray for the leaders of nations, for those who have great power and wealth, and those who have none. We pray for your children in need and parents who cannot answer the needs of their children, for peacemakers and diplomats, and for those who give through charities. We pray for all who are in pain and in need of care. We pray for those in need or facing hardships, for those starting a new virtual semester, taking exams, those traveling or unable to get out of the weather. We praise you with thanksgiving for our answered prayers and moments of joy that you have blessed us with. We also lift up before you all those we name silently now. We ask for the wisdom to fear you rightly, the power to withstand changes in our own lives that bring us closer to you, for the ability to give thanks for the people who have brought us to this time, our ancestors, teachers, and pastors of every age. Into your hands we commend all those for whom we pray and those it would be easy to forget. We ask your blessing on all your people, that we may come at last to the truth around your banquet table that has no end. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us quiet our hearts and minds for the offertory.
us give thanks to God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, we have a special treat this morning. Kristen is going to be preaching this morning. So in a moment, I'm going to go to the back of the sanctuary while she does the scripture reading and preaches, and then I will return at the end of our service.
The scripture reading for today comes from Psalm 111. Praise the Lord! I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart in the company of the upright in the congregation. Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who delight in them. Full of honor and majesty is his work, and his righteousness endures forever. He has gained renown by his wonderful deeds. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He is ever mindful of his covenant. He has shown his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever to be performed with faithfulness and uprightness. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, through many various ways you come to us. Steal into our hearts now as we think once again of the new gift of life granted to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Clarify our vision and steady my nerves so that we might be willing to venture forth to serve you as we ought. Capture our minds and devotions as we realize in this moment of worship your power over death and the enormous possibilities for victorious living day by day granted to us through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. So I've had a few bits of nostalgia lately. I recently stumbled across an old photo of me. I was probably in like fourth or fifth grade, and I was at the church that I grew up in. At Emmanuel Lutheran Church, every Christmas, we had what was called the Singing Christmas Tree. The communion table, the pulpit, the baptismal font were all removed, and this tiered scaffolding was erected like a Christmas tree. And it was lined with green cloth and adorned with tinsel. So the adult choir, there were about 20 people, lined the bottom two rows. And the children, there were about 20 of us in the children's choir, took up the remaining three tiers. And at the very top, my friend's little brother, who was the smallest of everyone, was at the top, and he had, you know, a little tinsel halo on top. I was in about the third row down, and we would put on this choral performance for a fully packed, standing room only church. The church I grew up in was always bustling. We had a separate Sunday school room for each grade, and every Sunday, each room had an average of about 10 kids in it. It was important to arrive at least 15 minutes early for worship, no matter which service you attended, because there were two. Because you had to get there early so that you could make sure you got a seat. Not just a good seat, but a seat. The pews filled up pretty fast. There was always something happening in fellowship hall. You know, the green jello with a bunch of fruit in it. That was always there. Someone in the community was using the church sometime during the week. Sadly, that is no longer the case at Emmanuel. My mom is still a member of that church and worships there regularly. But there's only like one or two families that has kiddos. There is always a place to sit. Whenever I go home and I worship with my mom, we usually have our own pew completely to ourselves. On a good Sunday, there are about 15 people at the late service. I'm not sure how many people go to the early service because that is not my jam, but I think it's about the same. The suggestion was made once to combine the two services, and there were several members that just had an absolute fit over this, and well, it's tradition, and well, but then when would we have Sunday school for the, you know, three kids that are there? The congregation hasn't had a regular pastor dedicated to them in over 3 years. The finances are dwindling. The pandemic surely hasn't helped anything. I have to tell you, it makes me really sad. It's heartbreaking to see the vibrant church I grew up in and formed the basis of my faith dwindle so much in just a couple of decades. Some have left because of disagreements with leadership, some more when the new pastor came, and even more after that pastor left. Many have moved after retirement or passed away. In hopes of attracting new parishioners, the church made improvements to the sanctuary, added padding to the pews, refurbished the pipe organ, cleaned up and updated the nursery, remodeled some of the Sunday school classrooms. But they're still in the same situation. It's not really an uncommon thing to hear in churches of any denomination in the United States. And it kind of makes us wonder, has God left us? Are we being punished for some unknown transgression? Why aren't the things that used to work bringing more people into our church? How are we supposed to share the wonder of Christ with people if they don't even come into our doors? This might be a leap, but hold on with me. Follow me for just a minute, because I think Psalm 111 might have some insight for us here. So Psalm 111 is what's known as an acrostic poem. There are 22 lines, and each line begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. This literary form signals to readers that the contents are comprehensive. As in, a celebration of God's works from A to Z. Here, the author shows us how God comes to us through all the works God has done in creation and with God's people from the beginning of time and throughout all of eternity. It shows us how we, in return for all God has done, relate to God through reverence and praise. The psalm starts out with an invitation to praise God, both as individuals and a collective. Verses 2 and 3 provide reasons for praising God, if you didn't have any. The works of the Lord refers to God's work in creation, but more importantly, recalls God's work for the sake of God's people. The change of seasons, blooming flowers, warmth of the sun, all of these sorts of things give us just a glimpse of God's majesty. And to just think, God did all of these beautiful things for all of humankind. In all times and places, for Israelites 4,000 years ago, for Canadians in 2021, for Kenyans in 3535. Yeah, the scenery is a little bit different. Our environment and experiences are, you know, a little different. But God's righteousness and care for people endures forever. We're taken into the past a little bit in verse 4. We're reminded of God's works for all people as revealed in the history of Israel. The Exodus, wandering in the wilderness, entry into the promised land. The phrase, "the Lord is gracious and merciful," echoes God's self-description after that episode with the golden calf in the wilderness. verses 5 and 6 move us into the present and towards the future. The provision of food once again looks into the past to recall the manna in the wilderness. But the psalmist also reminds us of the covenant with God's people. We might forget this covenant every so often, but God is ever mindful and actively works with us in the present to provide sustenance. The phrase, the heritage of the nations, is another way of saying Israel's inheritance. And at the time, it was recognized as a fulfillment of God's promise. The inheritance was promised to all of God's children. An inheritance sets up for us a better future. God will not leave our sides. Verses 7 through 9, God's faithful and just work makes it possible for us, God's people, to be faithful and just. God's faithfulness summons our faithfulness. God's work inspires our work. Again, because God has fulfilled the promises in the past, we can trust fully that God will be working with and for us forever and ever. Our praise is a way of participating in God's salvific acts. And now, here and now, and in the present, and into the future. Finally, in verse 10, the psalmist's praise of God's work remind the congregation to get back to our work. The phrase, fear of the Lord, that sounds kind of scary, but it's not, that fear is not like this cowering or frightful posture, but one of reverence and respect. Our work is to acknowledge God's sovereignty through praise. Since God endures forever, so shall our praise. This intersection of past and present, alongside the trust in the future, provides a point of contact between this psalm and the Christian worshiping community. If the psalmist could recall the character of God and the recollection of God's works, we as Christians have more cause to praise. Christians have seen the power of God's work in the weakness of the cross. We have seen God's faithfulness in the work of Christ's wounded hands. We can affirm that the redemption sent to Israel redeemed all with his blood. Psalm 111 reveals that God is not just stopping by for a temporary visit on his worldwide tour in order to broaden his fame. God is on a worldwide tour, yes, but his righteousness endures forever. His precepts are established forever. He has commanded his covenant forever, and his praise endures forever. Those of us who revere God live in a larger world. We allow ourselves to be open to something greater, something better, that lies deeply with even the most ordinary of experiences. It's all too easy to be over-focused and miss the full range of reality in what we live through. It's even easier to let our lives be defined by the little world we've created through the habits of our mind and body that don't really allow us to register anything beyond our awareness. Yes, it's really good to remember the past fondly. God has done wonderful things in our world and churches. Glenshaw Valley has been abundantly blessed, just like Emmanuel. Glenshaw Valley remembers the full churches, the bustling Sunday school classrooms. We really felt God's presence during those times, didn't we? But I promise you, God has not left Glenshaw Valley or Emmanuel. The way God acts and behaves at one particular juncture does not bind God to act similarly or predictably in the future. The God of the Exodus and the Davidic covenant is also the God of the exile and the God of the cross. God has never been one to let us stay too comfortable for too long. God deserves our praise because God is always pushing us towards new, often uncomfortable things. It may seem outrageous or unlikely, but the new things God is doing, especially through Jesus, is fully in line with everything God has done in the past. It's obvious to me that God has not left Glenshaw Valley. You have an amazingly loving, faithful, and supportive community here. And I know, I get it, there is sometimes frustration when the sanctuary isn't as full as it usually is, or what it once was. But maybe we have to think a little more creatively about what community means, especially during a pandemic or a snowstorm. Maybe we don't rely on the number of seats filled to determine whether our church is successful. Maybe we concentrate on praising God and trusting where we're being led by the Holy Spirit. God has done wonderful things for us in the past. God is with us right now. And God is guiding us towards the future. Our job is to praise God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please stand and join us in our closing hymn, Awesome God.
Let me say a word of blessing as we go from this place. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has a plan, and God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.
Amen. Amen.